Welcome to episode 98. This is something I've said since September. I've been recording steadily and I haven't been putting out content. So I'd like to apologize. I've recorded things, haven't been putting it out. A lot has happened and I'm breaking the curse today. And this is going up as is. So we're going to have some SHOT Show stuff. We're going to have stuff going back. I'm going to be talking about Ambassador Academy, current events, what's happening. Heck, we even had the passing away of Gaston Glock, and I didn't talk about it. So we had mass shootings. We had a lot of things happen. I'm going to pick and choose, cherry pick what we're going to talk about. But this is it. This is going to be episode 98. It's going to be the schizophrenic episode. Because it's going to bounce back and forth what's been going on with 2A4E and what we're trying to accomplish. So I apologize. But I got to poop or get off the pot. And this is me getting off the pot. Sorry if you need to hear that, but I'm a little frustrated with myself. So, here we go. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I welcome you to every holiday since September. Welcome to it. We're back. This is episode 98, and I'm going to have some fun with it. Let's talk about what's been happening. I went to SHOT Show. After SHOT Show, I went to Great American Outdoor Show. After the Great American Outdoor Show, I went to... So the Great American Outdoor Show is an NRA show that's in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, every year in February. And it's pretty much like an NRA show combined with a farm show combined with RVs. You have all kinds of things there. RVs, boats, fishing, hunting. What do you call that when you go on a hunt? Safaris, both in around the world. Safaris and safari companies from around the world. Hunting companies, hunting guides, fishing guides, camping. All kinds of things is at the Great American Outdoor Show. And I'll tell you right now, it's a 9-day event. And if you're within 4 hours of it, Go. It's every year in Harrisburg. It seems that somehow NRA has gotten stuck on the wrong side of the Mississippi the last couple of years. So if you're pretty much in the Northeast, go to Great American Outdoor Show. You can go to NRA also because NRA has more reps. But man, the Great American Outdoor Show has just stuff. And it's 9 days long. So if you want to make it a long weekend, take 4 days off, go to the show, see some stuff, hang out in Harrisburg, eat some food, it's worth going to. So I went to Harrisburg beginning of February. And then pretty much the next weekend, I was on my way to Florida for the Ambassador Academy at WAFT. WAFT is a training place down in Florida where our families train. Is what it's called, and I think it was like, I forgot, oh yeah, I think it was called like West Orlando Firearms Training, but they just changed the meaning of that when it became a private entity, and started doing things with Diana Mueller for the Ambassador Academy. And what it is, it's an event around education. It's to train people to be ambassadors for the Second Amendment, teach you how to speak in public, how to handle the press, whether the press be friendly or not. Those are just two of the classes. Also, how to organize your business, how to set your goals, and how to make things happen. We also had firearms training. We had scenario training, hand-to-hand combat training. And I think the class was 15 or 16 people. So there weren't many. They were able to split us into 4 different groups. The group sizes changed between 3 and 4, depending on what we're doing. And then they broke down even further. It was a very good experience. It brought a lot of us together. I was there with people who I'm already friends with or know. So it was fun for me because I met a couple of new people, but many of the people already there I know through advocacy work and travel and just the stuff that I do and I really feel blessed to be able to do this. I mean, I was exhausted because our day would start on the property, which is in the middle of nowhere. I think it's about 45 minutes outside of Orlando. So it was an hour drive in the morning, but we would start at 7. So we would leave the hotel around 6, 6:15. So of course, with me, I do 4 o'clock wake up anyway. So I'm ready to go. But understand, we're running all day doing different things. The food was great because they catered both breakfast and lunch. And then we all went out to dinner together with whatever group we were with. We had a really good group of folks. And I feel blessed. I know I am. Thank you for allowing me to do it. Thank you for the funding that allows me to do this. I really, really appreciate it. I know the work. The Second Amendment and the civil rights is very important. I'm not that important as a person, but what I'm trying to accomplish, I feel is, and I think a lot of people understand what I'm trying to accomplish and want to help. And I thank you. I really thank you from the bottom of my heart. So that was that in February. the hilarious thing is that ended on Wednesday. That was from a Friday to a Wednesday that event ran. I flew out midnight on Wednesday, landed in Jersey. Excuse me, I flew out at like 10 o'clock at night, landed in Jersey at midnight. Came home, had a doctor's appointment, and then went directly to a diversity shoot at Gun for Hire Range to the first diversity shoot to launch year 9 of the diversity shoot at Anthony Colangelo's Gun for Hire Range in Woodland Park. We had an awesome turnout, but it was not an auspicious start, mainly because traffic was insane. It rained. They had construction going. And for only the second time in nearly a decade, 9 years of doing this, I showed up late for my own event. It starts at 6. I showed up at 6:01. My issue with it is it doesn't allow me my time to go around, talk to people, to order food, to do all that. Well, the guys that have showed up, because I hadn't been keeping an eye. I was busy. Like I said, I had a doctor's appointment. Most people don't purchase their tickets until the last 3 hours before the event. Well, the last 3 hours before the event, I was on my way to the doctor's, at my doctor's, and then from the doctor's to the event. So I didn't get notifications of how many people were going to come, so I assumed there weren't going to be that many. When I arrived, there were 6 people there. And my guys said they were running late and they're showing up eventually. Cool. I asked if anybody want to eat because we're going to order food. Everybody said no, they're good. And I didn't order food. So I started the event. And as I started the event, within half an hour, people started walking through the door. And within an hour, we pretty much filled the place to capacity. And everybody's first question is, where's the pizza? We didn't order any. So I apologize. But that was February's event. Well, April 11th, we're having another
Just
event.
like a murder case.
And April 11th, we're gonna have pizza. So that's what's happening. That's what we're doing. That's what happened lately. That's what I've been up to since then. Saw some really cool stuff at SHOT, but this is just what was going on. I saw cool stuff at SHOT. I saw cool stuff at Great American Outdoor Show. I made contacts. Most people don't know. If you saw my video, if you follow me on Instagram, you saw me fall off an electric scooter. I've pinned that to the top of my page just so it can be there and we can laugh about it. I don't think it's pinned to the top of my page. You'd have to scroll through. But it's just funny. I hurt my knee in December at work. It's getting better, but it's very painful. I work my way through it every day. Some days are good, some hours are good, some hours are bad. But it was really bad in January, so I had to rent a electric scooter. That was an unexpected expense going on top of what's at SHOT Show. It was $78 a day to rent that thing in Vegas. And that was 4 days. It was a lot of money. It was a lot of funding that went away because my dang knee hurt. That was upsetting. And then even worse, Great American Outdoor Show. I assumed, because we weren't in Vegas, but we're in Harrisburg, that it wouldn't be as expensive. I was right. It was $10 difference. It was $68 a day to rent. It was horrible. Anyway, that is what it is. It was really an expense I didn't want. And kind of sucked. I can't wait. Been eating better. I've been dropping weight. My health is better, even though my knee is dorked up. So that really sucks. Because I felt if I didn't hurt my knee, if I didn't have the excess weight, it probably wouldn't have hurt as much to walk on it. So this is really bothering me now, and I'm doing something about it. So thanks for everybody that has the concerns, and all the people that says horrible things about me because I'm overweight online. You really don't make a difference. Sorry. I think about it, and I'm like, nah. Growing up like I grew up, where I grew up, playing sports with the coaches I've had, and being in the Marine Corps, no, some rando on Instagram has zero effect on pretty much anything in my life. But thanks for trying. So that's what I've done. We have things that I'm doing right now. We have a lawyer already I have to contact. Jeez, man, I'm all over the place. So, Anthony Calandro, Gun for Hire Radio, owner of Gun for Hire Range, has started a series on Second Amendment heavy lifters. One of the things with the Second Amendment heavy lifters he has on his show is he had Teresa Einacker on from Women for Gun Rights, and also she was with CNJFO. And they were talking about something on the show, and my name came up. I know Teresa. Teresa's great. And she's a friend, like I think I might have said. But something about me came up, and Anthony said he would donate $500 to Women for Gun Rights if they could get me in a teal crop top. Well, I played it up for all it could be. I hadn't heard that episode. I had more messages sent to me that Sunday, because he releases his episodes on Sunday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, my messages were blowing up on my phone. Did you hear the show? Did you hear the show? I finally listened to the show. Teresa had already contacted me, I think, Monday, and asked me, could I wear it? I said, yes. She ordered it for me. It got here in 2 or 3 days. And I made some content with it, and I waited until I got to Ambassador Academy because I knew I'd have more people, better cameras, better lighting, and more of a chance to make more of an impact with putting it on to get more people to maybe participate and donate to the organization. And that's what I did, and it worked out rather well. It was really funny. Again, visit my Instagram or follow Simon Says Train or The Second Inch for Everyone, and you can find the videos online. Also, I'm on Simon Says Train on IG. It's easy in explaining it. It was funny. It was me putting the shirt on. I made a whole thing out of it. I thought it was great. So did everyone else. And Anthony immediately donated the funds to Women for Gun Rights. And that was awesome. Whew. Also, while we were down at WAFT, or the Ambassador Academy, which I also recommend, it's an expensive event. Is it worth it? I think it is if you implement the things you learn from it. If you just go down there as a networking thing, not even a networking thing, you go down there to punch a ticket to say you trained at WAFT, I think you've wasted your time and wasted an opportunity, which I think is worse than wasting money. Wasting an opportunity to not take advantage of the education that you get, not take advantage of the networking and the friendships you could possibly make, all a waste of time. You don't have to be best friends to have a working relationship. And I think that's one of the problems in my mind with Second Amendment advocacy and a lot of these people that are in it. Everybody wants to be captain of the ship. Everyone wants to be the main character. Don't have to be. You can still be an effective secondary character. You can be an effective support. You can do you. I'm not in competition with anybody in the Second Amendment advocacy organizations. I'm not. No one's my competition. No one's my enemy that I have to put down to lift myself up. This is just work. My enemy is anyone that's trying to shut down the civil rights of all people. My enemy is anybody pushing a divisive agenda. My enemy is not other Second Amendment organizations. My enemy is not other content creators. My enemy are not other podcasts or podcast networks. Not happening. One, grow the F up. All right? You're not an Avenger. You're not a super friend. You don't have enemies. Magneto ain't trying to get you, bro. All right? They don't have a whole crew just of people going head to head. The Empire ain't coming, you little resistance rebel, you. As an adult, you probably don't have a lot of enemies. And some of them are only enemies in their head or yours. Now, we're all probably a bad guy in somebody's story. But you're not an enemy. So anyway, I just wanted to put that out, and I lost my track of thought of why, but some people just assume I don't like someone because we're in the same sphere. Wrong. Wrong. I look at most people as friends I haven't met yet. That's just how I roll. It's easier for me. It's how I think. You have to screw this relationship up. I treat everyone accordingly. That's it. I don't treat everyone with respect. I treat everyone accordingly. How do you come to me? Then that's how I treat you, or at least that's how I try to treat you. That is my goal. All right, we're at the end of this segment. That's what's going on. That's what's up. We're going to roll through the rest of this just like a regular show. So I really appreciate your time. I might even just put this out because this is 15 minutes. I got some other stuff that I already done about SHOT and things like that. I'm trying to figure out how to best package this so it doesn't seem so disjointed. I might just put it out on our Patreon. It's patron content that, you know, you donate a minimum to and you can actually hear these segments. I'll look into it and see how it's done. So, talk to you shortly. Thanks for sticking around. Hey, welcome to episode 98 of the podcast. Wow, I blanked out right there. Sorry, we're in the legislation right now. Colorado has lost, well, they haven't lost their mind. Colorado continues their attack against the Second Amendment, and they have a bill that actually, the bill is HB 241292. It's an assault weapons ban. They went after everything. The measure goes beyond targeting. I went to boomstickbabe.com. This is my friend Alicia, and Alicia has the website. And she wrote an open letter to Colorado, and she gives the information out to anybody that would go to boomstickbabe.com. And you can find the information here. I'm just going to read what it is. HB Hilo Bravo 24 1292 Assault Weapons Ban. And they have the first committee hearing is Tuesday, March 19, 2024, 10 a.m. at the Old State Library in Denver, Colorado. Yep, same old, same old. They're running around trying to ban everything semi-auto. You don't even need to know the specifics. Understand, you say no to every law. You fight every one of them. Like it's somebody going to line you up on the wall and shoot you in the face. Fight every gun law just like that. Give every one of them the same energy. This is a battle of incrementalism. Whatever they can get, they'll get. It's a win. The generation of people who buy guns behind you, whether it's next week or next year, whatever new law they pass to them, to the new gun owner, that gets their firearm a week after whatever new law they pass, as far as they're concerned, wherever they came in at, that's the status quo. That's the way it's always been. Wherever you came in at, whatever laws that were when you came in, you were like, hey, that's the way it always was. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. 1930, you could order a gun through a catalog and have it shipped to your home. Whether it's a shotgun, a double barrel shotgun with little hammers on them, like a coach gun from the old West, or a belt fed machine gun from World War I, you could order those out of a catalog. You can order them from Bannerman's in New York State and have it shipped to your front door. Regular post office. So, it's not always been that way. We didn't have school shootings. We didn't have terrorists. We did have terror attacks by terroristic groups. Mostly race-based Klansmen like that. We also had bullies, and if you read about the Battle of Athens, you'll see how dirty government was in Tennessee, and veterans fought back using firearms they got through the mail. The government does not want you to have access to weapons of war, even though the Second Amendment was written specifically for you to have access to weapons of war. So fight the good fight. Join organizations like the Rocky Mountain Gun Owners, which is fighting the fight in Colorado, along with Alicia, BoomstickBabe.com. Go to BoomstickBabe.com, join her newsletter, and you'll learn more about Colorado. Regardless of where you at, join Second Amendment organizations in your state, and even look forward to joining the ones that aren't in your state. If you don't join the organization, at least sign up for their newsletter. Learn what's happening in other places. This is 2024. Stop being so insular and not caring about anything that happens outside of your state, because that's the old way of thinking. That's the old divisiveness that allowed us to get to where we are now. If it wasn't happening in your state, you weren't worried about it. Well, no, nah, it's no longer how things work. They're going after your state. They're going after the next state. They're trying to knock them down. They make... Understand the Democratic Party is the one that's assaulting your rights overtly, but the Republicans are accepting it and allowing it to happen covertly. They're making compromises with your rights. I don't care what political party you're in. If you're for getting rid of my rights in any way, including compromise, you're my political enemy. And you need to either be educated and change your ways, or we need to replace you. We need to replace you in that job. Well, here's some good news. Louisiana, South Carolina, both passed constitutional carry laws. So they, residents of those states don't need permission from their state government to legally carry a firearm in public. And that's amazing. That's awesome. And that will probably save a lot of lives. And how do you say that? Oh, because... Well, I don't have to pay a fee. I don't have to wait. I don't have to have a waiting period. If I have a threat, I can purchase a firearm and I can carry legally without waiting for more background checks. Because if I had a background check to purchase a firearm, why do I need a total another background check, a fee, a class? By the way, a poorly written class, a poor set of qualifications to be able to carry publicly. So that includes, that weirdo that decided to stalk your wife from work, that weirdo? Yeah. Well, now your wife can actually carry with her when she goes. I mean, they fired him from the job, but doesn't mean he's not still stalking your wife. How about the person stalking your daughter? See, people assume, I live in a good neighborhood. That's not the only violence that can be visited upon you. The people that talk about the good neighborhood they live in either have never watched a crime drama or have crappy imaginations or have allowed their politics to take part of their common sense. Like, it just, because they believe this thing can't happen to them. It's the most ridiculous crap ever. Violence can be visited upon anyone for any reason, from random to specifically targeted. It could be you. Will it be you? It's a small chance. It's a small chance. But having the ability to resist, most people have never been in a fight in their life. They've never taken any training, even the basics. Many don't even know how to ball up their fists. Many have no ability to be situationally aware. A whole bunch of people out there are just victims in waiting. But they're going to dictate to you, since they've never had a confrontation, they never needed a firearm, you don't either. Well, they're living in a fantasy world. They're living in a world where just bad things don't happen to good people. In their mind. Until they see it on the news, and then they watch it, and they let it go. Oh, that was unfortunate. They were just unlucky. Well, anyone can be unlucky. A firearm, I don't think, is necessary. It's not the only answer. It's just one of the things that constitutionally you should be able to have and carry with you wherever the heck you want. That's all. It's just another emergency piece of equipment when it comes to self-defense. That's all it is. There is non-lethal and lethal. If you think it's a good idea to carry a flashlight and some pepper spray for self-defense, it shouldn't be that much of a leap for you to be able to also carry something as deadly force for self-defense. If one makes sense, the other should make sense, because it's in the same logical train of thought. All right, we're done legislation. So, good news, two more states passed constitutional carry, and we've got homework to do as Second Amendment advocates and as people that want to be Second Amendment advocates, or you just want to continue exercising your rights. Got work to do. All right, see you in the next segment. Welcome to Tactical Concepts, episode 98. I wanted to talk about this because I went to SHOT Show, because I go to the industry shows, I am part of firearms media, which is insane. Because if you listen to me because you like guns and gun stuff, dude, I'm you. And I'm like, how in the heck did I end up here? Because I tell the truth way too much to be one of these lying, scheming pieces of crap that are gun tubers that get a check because they tell you something that you got to bet your life on is better than it really is. Yep, that's what I think about most of them. Sorry. So let's talk about one of the things. If you're new to this, or if you have some questions about what to buy for a self-defense fun gun, what to get if you're just getting into this whole thing, I'll go ahead and tell you, depending on the state, how easy it is, get a long arm, get the rifle, get a carbine. The carbine that gives you the most bang for the buck, gives you the most accuracy, options, modularity that you can do stuff with it, the firearm that gives you the most information that you can find online and other places easily is the AR-15. Depending on your state, they're easy to get. They have AR-15-like firearms coming from multiple manufacturers that don't have pistol grips various ways, so they're legal in California or other states that have outlawed features. The AR-15 is one of the easiest ways to go and get into this entire scene. They're lightweight. They're easy to use. My family as an extended family, in the last 2 years, discovered the AR-15. You know, after spending a lifetime of telling me I'm a gun nut, my cousin bought his AR home over the Christmas of, I think it was maybe 2021, I think. And all of a sudden, everyone was just full of, oh, you need to get an AR, Tony. I'm like, an AR? You okay? So it's really funny, though, because my family supposedly, they look at my Instagram and they somehow didn't think I had an AR-15. But it's really funny, but that's what I suggest you go to. And depending on how much money you want to spend, you can get an okay one to a great one to you spent way too much on that damn rifle, but I hope you're happy. Like, you can get anything along that entire arc. So one of the things I want to tell people, all people, is you don't have to spend an obscene amount of money. I think good duty, they ain't gonna let you down. Price point to be looking is between $1,200 and $1,500 for the basic rifle. Now, it's a little more expensive than most people thought, and I'll go ahead and tell you, I went a different route because you can. You can do that for less money by purchasing the upper. AR-15 comes in two different segments, or can be divided in two segments. Upper, which is the barrel, the bolt, all of that top part, as you call it, the barrel, the bolt, mm-hmm. charging handle, and the bolt carrier group all come together. You can do that, and then you can buy the lower, which has the trigger, the pistol grip, the stock, the holdy parts. The upper is the shooty parts, the lower is the holdy parts. I know somebody's laughing and somebody out there is offended because how dare you talk down to me. Well, guess what? I wasn't talking to Chief. You that get it, laugh at it. You that go, wow, I didn't know it. That's one way to put it. Cool. That's one way to do it because there's an 11% excise tax on buying a complete firearm. But if you buy the lower and the upper separately, you save 11% right off the bat. Another way to save money. Because, understand, the reason I'm bringing this up, because I'm tactically thrifty. Some people call it cheap. Those people are rude. I'm tactically thrifty. Saving 11% on something that costs $1,500 to $1,500 makes sense to me. When you order these things separately, you can pick up a decent lower. Now, the reason I'm only going to break it down into the upper and the lower initially for everyone. Upper and the lower, the AR-15 is connected using two pins. If you know how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you have the skills to be able to put together. Matter of fact, you're overqualified to put together an AR-15 upper and lower. That's how easy it is. All right, so my suggestion, you go to a company like Arrow Precision and you buy one of their lowers or one of their complete uppers and you get a lower from Arrow Precision. The lower is the part with the serial number that's considered the firearm, and that gets sent to your firearms license dealer. And that's one thing you can do. If you're buying the gun from a gun shop and not ordering it online, understand your gun shop is still trying to get paid, so they're going to try to nail you because what, not nail you, but they have to make money too. They have a brick and mortar store and have to pay mortgages and employees. So they want to get paid. So if you go to the store, you're going to pay more for the same thing, and they might not have something in stock. The brands that get me there are Palmetto State, Armory, can get you in about $700 all around if you buy it in the store. You can get it online for much cheaper because, again, you buy a separate lower and upper. Arrow Precision is another one. Sons of Liberty Gunworks is another one. Those are off the top of my head that I'm thinking. Why didn't I mention Bear Creek Arsenal or Anderson or even our friends over at Diamondback? Diamondback, I'm giving a break. You might want to check them out. But at one time, they had a bad reputation for quality control. Not that none of their rifles worked, but my guys had an issue with quality control. I met the guys over there. They seem really nice. Cody, those guys seem like they do a good job. I haven't shot a Diamondback yet. I think I'm going to go ahead and get it out of the way and order one and have them send me one so we can use it for the diversity shoot. And then that way, we'll see. But understand, if you send something to the diversity shoot as a company and your thing don't work, I'm pulling it from the line. No one's getting a bad experience the first time shooting a gun because your gun's subpar. I'm not introducing people to garbage. And if you're offended by that, make a better gun. So I don't want to give people bad information. And we've been doing a diversity shoot without major companies having our back and having us compromise. Wow, I've done 9 years without them. I can do another 9 years without them if you think I'm going to sell myself to lie to you. That simple. Okay. Kind of makes me angry. Just the thought of like selling out. I'm willing to sell out, but I have to be made a millionaire to sell out. Sorry, I'm not giving up my integrity for a free gun from a company. And yes, that's what some of your favorite YouTubers and YouTube reviewers do. Some of them make a living off of it because I guess they've never been around real money. So they'll sell themselves out for it. Now, to me, real money to sell my integrity means millions. Maybe I overrate myself. Whatever. I'm rambling. I apologize. Anyway, good gun. How much? That's the price range. Those are just a couple off the top of my head. Right now, I'm cleaning my Glock. So if you hear anything, it's me cleaning the Glock 19. So when we're going into long arms, that's what I look at. Going into long arm, I'll look at ARs. AKs, way too many different things. And you get into magazines that work, don't work in them. You get into which country they're from. What are they based on? Which caliber do you get? You know, 5.45, 5.56, 7.62 by 39. Just a whole bunch of questions that don't need to be asked. Look, America's rifle is the AR-15. Quit bullcrapping and go with that. That's what you get. It's easier to take classes and everything else with it. 20 years ago, maybe not. Well, now it's not 20 years ago. Go with the AR. Go with AR. Everything about it is easier. Now, if you want to go with something else, now you open yourself up. Because there are a lot of other non-AR rifles. But what are you getting out of it? Which ones are good? Which ones are bad? You can go with stuff from IWI. They have a lot of things and they have a very good reputation for having things that take the same thing as an AR-15 magazine. You can have bullpups. You can have carbines. I want to check some of their stuff out just so I can introduce people to it as an AR-15 alternative. Because maybe you have two or three ARs. It's good, but you want to try something else. This is a good way to go. If you want to spend a whole bunch of money and get just as good as an AR-15, you can always go with a SCAR 16. It's a long way. that's using long division to get to AR-15 performance. And it'll cost you more money, but you'll be that different dude at the range, and that's cool too. But if you're just getting into it, just go with an AR and quit trying to be difficult. Now, if you're talking about getting into a handgun, something totally different. I'll say that for another show so we don't keep going on. Also the cool thing about an AR, I live in a restrictive state where I'm stuck with 10-round magazines. Because the AR is so common, it's easy for me to get the 10-round mags for an AR-15 as opposed to trying to get 10-round mags for something else. I mean, it's just that simple. Boom. AR-15, America's rifle. That's why you should go with it. And tactical concepts. Thank you very much. I hope that was a good 10 minutes on why you should get an AR. And a few manufacturers you can check out. You can also probably get something from Brownells. I don't know if they have ARs, as it were. Oh, also another tactical thrifty mindset thing. Use sales. Go during sales. If you want to get your lower from your local gun shop, cool. Go in your local gun shop. See if you can purchase a complete lower. Buy it. Now you don't have to deal with the gun shop anymore unless you want to buy mags, accessories, ammo. You can purchase that at your local gun shop because you want to keep your local gun shop in business because they can cut off online sales using all kinds of goofy laws. But the cool part about having online sales is you can get everything shipped to your house and no one has to know what you have, what barrel length you have, what options you have, whether you have optics, whether you have night vision. All that stuff can be mailed to your house as a private citizen. No one needs to know about it. And because of YouTube and the ability to look things up, you can figure out how to install it and how to use it. You can also go to classes, and I think that's one of the most important things after you get that firearm, is to take a class from someone else. Don't live in your head with this. People have tactics and other things that they can teach you other than how to pew-pew in a training class. All right, that's Tactical Science Concepts, episode 98. I'll talk to you later. And welcome back, episode 98. I'm going into gear whore. I'm going to tell you a little story. So I'm at SHOT Show in the basement looking for Lionheart Industries because I want to have a conversation with him. And I ran into a guy named Sergio. Sergio actually saw me and called me out. Sergio used to work for Cold Steel. So I'd see him at different shows. I'd see him at NRA. I'd see him at the Great American Outdoor Show. So it's a guy I ran into twice a year. I BS with him. He knew about 2A4E because that's what I would go to. Lynn Thompson, owner of Cold Steel, founder of Cold Steel, and asked for knives so we could raffle them off to help raise money for the work we did. And every year he'd give me a couple, a few knives. So I got to know some of the people that worked there, and every year was a new person they'd introduce me to because the old person would be gone. So Cold Steel sold either in 2022 or 2023. And everybody went their separate ways. One of the founders, partners in Cold Steel, started his own company, him and his wife, and they started Ocaso Knives, ocasoknives.com, if you want to check it out. And they started producing really nice executive-type knives or gentlemen's knives. So these are thin, lightweight, made with really cool materials like titanium and carbon fiber. So they have the Andrew Demko. Now, if you're a Cold Steel fan, you'd know he was one of the lead designers for Cold Steel. Well, boom. He came and he designed this particular blade. It comes in three different blade styles: straight, harpoon, and worn cleft. Straight blade is just like you say, when you imagine a knife, it's just a straight blade. Harpoon, it looks like it's got a notch cut out in the top of the blade. And it looks kind of like a harpoon. Really cool knife. Really cool looking knife. And then I have the worn cleft. So it's made out of 35 VN. Crucible 35 VN steel. So this is American stainless steel. Bro, I'll go ahead and say it. It is a really nice knife. And the crazy part is, they were like, hey, Tony, pick out any knife you want. Well, now I'm in a quandary. Because the most expensive, again, their knives start at $200 and they go to $300-$400. And they have the entire collection out there. And I'm looking at some really cool knives. And I'm like, this one's too nice for me. This one's too nice for me. Because my silly butt is thinking, you know, I don't want to bang up a really nice looking knife when I should have been thinking, it's a gentleman's knife. You want the nicest looking knife you can get. So I can put it in photos, I can take different pictures of it, and the more interesting it looks, the more it intrigues other people to check out Ocaso Knives. So I got a decent one. It's titanium, it's gray, it's a really nice looking knife. It's nicer looking than any one I have. It's titanium and satin, that's the color. And I really enjoy using this knife, if you can listen to it. It is quality. It feels very tight. The blade is centered, so unlike the gas station knives I usually get, well, okay, I don't do gas station knives, but the knives I handle are between $30 and $100. The most expensive knife I purchased on my own with my own money was like $109 for a Launch 13 from Kershaw, and that's a really nice knife. But listen to this sucker open. Nice. It is not an automatic knife. It has a little flipper on it. It's very near the front. It has a really nice clip for deep pocket carry. You're only going to see like the name of it. And since it's squared off, I think it's about half inch wide, if that, and it weighs less than 3 ounces. But it has a 2.5 inch blade, 3 inch blade. I should look at this dimensions. Really nice knife, really quality knife. So it's not a review. I've done things like cut rope, cut stuff that was sealed up. It slices through everything because it has really good steel. Again, S35 VN steel. If you're not a steel geek, join a friend club. Neither am I. But I know this is more expensive because that's the steel that the blade for the Launch 13 is. Both are sharp, very sharp. This particular one I have, I think it has a cost of either 229 or 249. $229 on their website. Again, OkatsuKnives.com. Check it out. Now, I've been cleaning it with just water, wiping it down. I haven't oiled it. It is just one of those knives that, like, you'd wear if you dress up. Like, if you wanted to bring a blade with you while you're wearing a suit or have it in an office environment that you have a very sharp blade to do whatever. I mean, why not? If you can have something that you can use to defend yourself, pry stuff open, cut stuff open, why not? I really don't understand people that have some kind of aversion to carrying a knife on them, a knife and a flashlight. But this one is one of those things that you want to dress up with. They have really great pictures of their stuff online, and they're pretty much showing you who they expect. Like you dressing with this knife. Okay, here he is. We got, like I said, 3.5 inch blade. 7.8 inches overall, 2.5 ounces. Pretty much boom boom. Linear lock, flipper, stainless steel, caged bearings, aerospace grade titanium. Yeah, I always find that funny when they say aerospace grade titanium. Like somehow they have pinto grade. Ford Pinto grade titanium, but it's a knife. It's well designed. Check them out. Just check out the website. Beautiful pictures. Check out Ocasio Knives on Instagram. Again, beautiful photos. Really nice knife. Would I recommend it? So far, I'm pleased with it. Knife is sharp. Probably very easy to sharpen because of the straight blade. I don't feel it's great for, well, okay, I've been peeling apples, cutting fruit, stuff like that. Easier knives to use for that particular thing, but I want to use the knife. I don't just want to carry the knife. And that's what I've been doing. So check them out. I appreciate it. Hopefully we can work together. We can get some that they can raffle off. Once we become a 501c3, they can write the whole thing off. So having really, to me, what I consider a higher end knife, a gentleman's knife, an executive knife, to raffle off would be interesting and probably get a bunch of you guys thinking about either joining our Patreon or whatever fund raising we can use to get you guys interested in donating. That I don't worry about them cutting our funding off once they find out we're giving knives away to fight for our civil rights. All right, that's it. That's the end of this segment. Sorry to babble on, but I found it interesting. I hope you did too. And if you didn't, I hope you at least listened to double speed so it didn't take up a whole bunch of time. All right, see you in the next segment. All right, here we go. Episode 98. Mad Minute, one of my rants. You know darn well it's going to last longer than a minute because it takes more than a minute to explain what's happening. Since I'm releasing this tonight in a timely manner, the big story right now, there's two stories in the media kicking around, and one of them is the mainstream media and the other one's gun media, and both of them are doing the same thing, manipulating our opinions for a narrative they want to push. The big one is Donald Trump had the audacity to say bloodbath if he doesn't get elected. They take a clip, I think that's maybe 4 seconds long, and they push it as if he's asking people to, that if he does, as if he's stating, if he doesn't win, there's going to be a bloodbath in the tax throughout the country or some other thing that they're trying to push a narrative. And I guess that's what it would be if you go in and people've already told you what he means, if you don't listen to anything on the other side of that 4 second burst. Now, if you're not willing to listen and you've already made up your mind, well, they succeeded. They've got you to believe anything, regardless. Again, I don't think the guy's a great Second Amendment president at all. And personally, I don't think he's even a nice person. Never liked him. Never liked the guy, even though I think he did some good work as the President of the United States. Financially, we were better off. We had less wars. We had a lot of other stuff. Am I a fan of Donald Trump? No. But the president doesn't have to be my effing best friend. He's not yours. No president ever has been. Quit buying into the cult of personality bullcrap that they're pushing on you. We're a country of nearly 400 million people, and all they can do is find old people who have been in the system for years to run it. Stop playing. Stop being played. Nobody's your buddy. But what they're doing is straight up propaganda. If you listen to anything on either side of there's going to be a bloodbath, and I'm talking about put in 3 minutes, 180 seconds prior to that one sentence, you will see you've been manipulated. If you're not willing to put in 180 seconds to see how the media is playing you, then you deserve to be played. Really, you do, because you want to be. You want to be on one team or the other. The teams are this, us against them. The founding fathers told you not to trust government. The founding fathers told you political parties will break the country apart. If you're not listening, that's because you didn't really pay attention to what was being said. If you don't like it, cool. I don't know what to tell you. You can either know history or trust the government. You can't do both. Don't keep repeating things like that if you don't really believe it and if you can't apply it. That's one story. And that's the mainstream media trying to push a narrative that the President of the United States is warning that if he doesn't win, there's going to be violence in the streets. Not what he said. Totally out of context. And if you're one of those people to go, well, he should watch how he says things, because no, it doesn't make any difference. Remember when they were talking about, do you disavow David Duke? And the guy had done it a decade earlier and multiple times, but every reporter that got in front of him turned the camera on and says, do you disavow it? And they kept saying it over and over, even though he gave them the same answer. So it doesn't matter how he says something. It doesn't matter if he says it 30 times. You can make it seem like he's never said it at all if you keep asking him the question. It's how propaganda works. Moving right along. The next story. Toronto police tell people to leave their car keys by the door because so many people are getting robbed and the police can't stop them. That was a news story. Corleone Noir picked it up and ran with it. So did a lot of other people. They repost a clip of a police officer saying, leave the keys by the front door. But here's the thing. Now, I went and heard about the rest of the story from the Yankee Marshal. Follow the Yankee Marshal. He's the most toxic person in the gun community on YouTube. That's what Corleone Noir said about him years ago. Here's the funny part. They call you toxic when you call them out on their BS. And he called them out. Many of the gun tubers that are running around with the story talking about, look, look, the police said they're not, you should leave your keys on the front door because they can't stop the thieves. It's not what they said. It's not even an official announcement from the Toronto police. It's a town outside of Toronto at a town hall meeting. And one person stood up and said they fear that someone will break into their house armed and force them to give them the keys. And the officer said, if that is your fear, leave your keys inside the house, but by your front door. Now, I always tell people, remember, I am a locksmith, 30 years experience working with people. If you leave your keys by the front door, these people that want to steal your car break in, they see the keys, they grab all the key fobs, they run outside, and whichever one starts the car they're looking for, they're gone. They don't have to get in the rest of the house. They just got your damn car. Well, he told this one person that asked a specific question about their fear, what to do. The media took it, cut it up, and put it out as if it was a statement, an official statement, to all people that lived in Toronto. And the Canadian police says it wasn't an official statement by any police force. It was answering a question in a town hall meeting in a small town outside of Toronto. You're being manipulated. Our side does it too. I think it's disgusting. Because you can still tell people it's not the police job to protect you as an individual. You don't have to take something and twist it to make it fit a narrative, because you lose the moral high ground in the conversation if you become just like them. Some people are fine with that. But if you get into a wrestling match with pigs, well, you both end up dirty. The only difference is the pig's gonna enjoy it. Well, that's the end of my rant. Try to be a better person, not be played. Think for yourself. Don't fall for the okey-doke. Don't be bamboozled by their side or yours. Have a great day. All right, we're on to the shout-outs. So, this is the pretty much wrapping up of the episode. And there are lots of shout-outs. There are lots of things going on. But something happened while I've been away. One of the people that pretty much was an industry disruptor passed away. Firearm industry disruptor, somebody that wrecked his stuff. And in 82, he came out with his Glock pistol. This is Gaston Glock. And he changed the firearms industry. He changed the firearm industry when he produced the Glock. Now, if you've listened or heard about it while you were going back and forth, because it was a big deal in the gun industry, people were talking about it. It was a big friggin' deal. I was there when Glocks came out, 82. Remember, I've been a gun guy forever. I was a gun kid. So when this plastic gun came out, Tactical Tupperware, it was called, people went nuts. It's the Glock 7 that you hear about in Die Hard 2. The media blew it up and lied about it. Said it wouldn't be able to be detected by metal detectors, and terrorists would use them all over the place because they could get them on planes. Now, if you think about it, you don't know. If you weren't alive during the history, there's a whole bunch of nuances you lose. One, the media has always been manipulative. The media has been anti-gun for a long time and anti-freedom. And what they would do is use fear. Use fear to turn the American public against firearms. Also, the firearms media was all in a hubbub because, really, it's a bunch of FUDs. At that time, the gun industry wasn't like it is today. There wasn't a war going on. Vietnam had ended. It left a bitter taste in the nation's mouth. This is 82. Vietnam ended in 75. So, that was fresh. There wasn't a huge training industry. Some of the people that are here today were there then, but it was not big. There were only a few of them. There were like three gun schools I can think of off the top of my head. Maybe four. Chapman, Moss, Asad Ayub. He had his Lethal Force Institute, I think, in 82. You had Gunsight. And that was it that I could think of. Like, you had maybe three big schools. And then this plastic gun comes out, is able to undercut everybody else. And it came from Austria, so no one even knew what that was. Because Americans are kind of stupid. And they knew Germany. They knew HK, but HK made weird guns. They didn't even have, like, big military contracts. remember, it was Walther Luger during World War II that making pistols. That's what people knew. They knew a Walther, they knew a Luger, they knew a Mauser Brunhandel. What the heck is a Glock? Wait, this Glock is this weird plastic thing? So that came out. It had less parts than the other semi-autos at the time. It was inexpensive. And Gaston Glock came into the American market with the right advisors and put it to him. He sold the gun very, very inexpensively. The country was in the mood. The police forces in the country were changing over to semi-autos. Well, semi-autos were expensive. You had the Smith & Wesson semi-autos with D-cockers, all metal guns. They cost a lot of friggin' money. Glock rolled in with a pistol that cost him less than $80, or about $80 to produce. So he was able... Oh, and by the way, when they hit the American market, these $80 pistols, he was selling for like $300. Because his advisor told him, if you sell a pistol from somebody unknown for $80, $90, $100, they're going to see it as a cheap pistol. Price it up there. So he priced it up there on par with other things, less expensive, but close. And then he sold it at police for like a really low rate. Plus you throw the magazines in, which he made too, because he was a polymer engineer. He made his company made stuff out of polymer. He had the science, he had a lock on the market, he had the equipment. He nailed it. Talk about timing. And he sold these things, and the firearm industry itself fought against it. But chiefs of police did not care. And these things became the guns of the 80s and the 90s. It was a big freaking deal. And it just got better from there. They were, and this is according to their own marketing, don't know if it's true, but 65% of American police departments had this one gun. Had some form of Glock, either in 40 or 9mm for the most part. That was a big freaking deal. And he made a whole lot of money. And you can love him, hate him, whatever. He disrupted the market. He passed away. When did he pass? Oh, end of 2023 at age 94. So, the dude changed the world. And another guy I'd like to give a shout out to, only because I don't know how long he's going to be around, because he has suffered from terminal cancer. That might sound cold, but I want you guys to be able to check him out and see his work while he's still here and can appreciate it, and that's Paul Harreld. Paul Harreld was a United States Marine. He's a YouTube personality. He's a YouTube firearms guy. Has really great content. Really 100% worth looking at. I found him years ago and, of course, watched him. And I thought it was really well. He explained stuff just like in the Marine Corps way. Paul Harreld is H-A-R-R-E-L-L, Paul Harreld. That's the name of his channel. He has terminal cancer. He's no longer showing up on screen. Grand Thumb, if you follow him, just did an interview with him. The guy looks ill, and it sucks for somebody who you watched for a long time be healthy, and now he's ill. That blows. I have one of his shirts. They raised about $86,000 to help him pay his bills. During the Grand Thumb interview, the guy never wants you to feel sorry for him, but he was talking about selling off his trademark jackets because he said he had 12 different ones that he wear, and he's known for his shooting jacket on his channel. That's one of his trademarks. He sold them off. While I guess he's getting treatment or he'll help pay the bills or whatever. So it's Paul Harreld. Give a shout out. Great information. Things like I'm comparing 45 to 40 and he breaks out a Glock in 45 and a Glock in 40 with a Glock 23 and a Glock 21 and shoots them side by side. He breaks out 10mm versus 40. He just different things, how to run a shotgun. He redid the Miami shootout. He has awesome videos on different ammos. He has his trademark meat target, which is, which it's, he put it together with, what is it, pork shoulder, pork ribs, oranges in the middle for lung tissue, representing lung tissue, pork ribs on the back, and a t-shirt, and multiple layers of fleece. Oh, and on the front side is also either a leather jacket or a leather couch. Leather couch skin, whatever. It's really cool because he shoots meat targets. Now, there's nothing scientific about it, but there's no substitute for meat. When you use gelatin, when you have these ballistic gel tests, ballistic gel is just a repeatable medium. It does not represent how this thing works in skin. It's just something that you can formulate and is consistent the same way every time. And that shows how a bullet reacts to hitting that, but it's not the same thing. It's not a one for one. If it hits the ballistic gel, that's how it's going to work in a person. It's not how that's set up. Anyway, Paul Harrell, shout out to you. Check him out, please. They had t-shirt sales for him going. Johnny Appalachia, Johnny B from YouTube actually reached out to me. I made a video with it, and hopefully some of you guys purchased t-shirts. It took a while to get mine because obviously it was made in a bigger size and they were selling like hotcakes. But they raised $86,000 for him and his family, and I just want you guys to know about him. All right, well, this has been episode 98. Happy St. Patrick's Day. This is the one that took forever to come out, so you guys will wake up Monday after St. Patrick's Day. Well, actually, I'm posting it tonight, so have a great day. Thank you for following me. Thank you for listening. I really, really appreciate you. I have the Patreon back up so you can donate Patreon. I'm going to have Patreon exclusive content because I'm putting the other podcast segments out on Patreon. I have a laptop now, so I'll be able to repost these things to YouTube. And I have a lot of things scheduled. We're almost at 2,000 followers on YouTube. I'm going to come up with a series of shorts of videos that I've taken from various shows. I'm going to repackage them. I'm going to pull them off YouTube, repackage them with voiceover about the firearms, and put them back on YouTube. So as a series. And hopefully that will get rolling and will get us a whole bunch of a lot of followers. Because once I get to a certain point on YouTube, we can do subscriptions, I can do live shows, and you can donate that way too. I'm trying to come up with different finance, different income modes, channels, so everybody, I don't have to depend on one thing. They can't use one thing to cut all funding off and just kill the diversity shoot. So that's the plan for 2024. Wish me luck. Thank you for being part of it. See you next episode.
Yay!